Parshas Pinchas. Okay, Kindlech. So who knows? What was Pinchas' reward? What was his char? David?
He was zaycha to become a kayin and to be able to do the avaida.
But Kindlech, let me ask you. Wasn't he a kayin automatically? After all, doesn't the pasuk say Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kayin? Yes, Yudel, what do you say?
Well, the problem was that when Hashem said that Aaron and his son should be anointed, Pinchas wasn't included. And then it says subsequent generations are going to be kohanim. But those means from the ones that were anointed. So really, Pinchas should have been out of the picture.
Beautiful. Ah, mamish, I feel so good today. I can really tell that you can't lachaz it over Shabbos. Yes, Chesky, do you have a question?
Rebbe, didn't we once learn that a kohen who killed someone cannot do the avoda? He is not permitted to serve in the Beis HaMikdash?
Why, Chesky, that's a wonderful question. Actually, the Teferes Shloimeh says that that's the very reason that Hashem said, in this case, Pinchas should become a kohen. You see, a lot of times, we don't deserve to get something. But because we're willing to give it away, that's why Hashem gives it to us. Pinchas knew that if he's going to do this mitzvah, apparently he's going to lose what he always wanted, to become a kayin. And he was ready to lose it. And when you're ready to lose it, Hashem gives it to you. Oops, looks like we have a guest. Yes, Mr. Alexi.
I hope that the Kindlech don't mind that I'm disturbing. Well, maybe the Kindlech, they don't mind I'm disturbing. I hope the Rebbe doesn't mind I'm disturbing.
Well, Mr. Alexi, we're at the end of the lesson anyway. What seems to be the problem? Why are you holding that hose?
This hose is a very important hose. I clean out the important garbage cans. They're very important garbage cans because they're part of the yeshiva to help keep the yeshiva clean.
And what seems to be the problem, Mr. Alexi?
The Kindlech, they play with the faucet. They open it and they close it. Now, when I needed this hose to spritz the garbage cans, it doesn't work. You see, it doesn't work because you closed the faucets.
But, Mr. Alexi, I opened it.
Oh, no, you didn't. Here, let me show you. I'm looking into this hose, and I'm going to press the handle, and you'll see it doesn't work. Don't worry about it. This shirt needed a cleaning, Evie. Every 18 years, I clean it anyway. This was a good spritz. Boy, I feel like I was in the spin cycle and the wash cycle at the same time.
Okay, Kindlech, please calm down, calm down. Yes. Shmuel, what's the matter?
Rebbe, it's 10 minutes to recess, and you always tell us a story about all the things that happen in class.
So I have to think of a story about all the things that happened. Why, I think I have it. This story is about a cannon.
A cannon?
Yeah, like Mr. Alexi's hose. It was a cannon that wasn't supposed to work. It hadn't worked for years. And it was during the terrible years of Tav Ches and Tav Tes, 1648, when the Cossacks, Rachmana Litzlan, did so many tzaras for Yiddish Kindlech. Reb David HaLevi Segal, the Taz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was in a certain town, and everybody ran into a fortress. The Cossacks were coming.
Get those Jews! Get them! Get them!
We must do something. What can we do?
There's a cannon. Let's try to shoot it.
No, no, no. That cannon hasn't been working in years. It's a fake cannon. It's not real. Do you hear me?
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said. I have no time. I have to try to shoot this cannon.
I said that's a fake cannon. It doesn't work. Here, I'll show you. I'll put this match over here and...
What happened? Who turned the ceiling to the floor and the floor to the ceiling?
Would you please stop spinning around like that?
I'm standing in one place, you're spinning.
Rabbeisai, we were saved, we were saved. The cannon fired, look.
Hey, let's run, we're getting out of here. Oh, someone's shooting cannonballs at us.
The Cossacks are running away.
But this is impossible. I'm taking care of this fortress for years. That cannon,
It's impossible. Mechanically, it doesn't work.
That night, the people had a dream. They dreamt the pasuk, V'ganoisi es ha'ir l'man David Avdi. I will protect the city in the schus, in the merit of David, my Eved. Everyone understood that it referred to the great tzaddik, Reb David Halevi. Now let me think, that's about the pump. What else took place in this class? Everyone quiet, a lot of talking. Well, I'll tell you a different story. One of the times that the Taz was running away from town to town with his family, he was davening in a tattered, ripped talus. I mean, it was kosher, but it was old and ripped. And a woman came over to him and said,
I see you're a big tzaddik. Please, take this gorgeous, new, beautiful talus.
No, no. Thank you for your offer, but I can't take it.
Why not? Why can't you take it?
This talus I have for several decades. When my neshama goes up to Shemayim after 120 years, I know I can wrap myself in this talus and I can say that during all my years, not only did I never talk during davening, I never even had a strange machshava in my mind besides the davening. This talus can attest to it. No, I'm not willing to give up my talus yet.
But Rebbe, how does this story connect with what you told us about Pinchas?
Chesky, Rebbe's story doesn't have to connect with everything.
I have one more thing to tell you about the Taz, which is going to connect to that. Oh, but it's recess already. You'd rather hear the story? Oh, I love this class. Part of the reasons that the Turei Zov that the Taz suffered so terribly was that the Kazakhs were particularly looking for him.
I want to find their rabbi.
Yes, the Jews, when you attack their rabbis, they are finished.
Let's look for him.
Because of that, the Taz had to run even ahead of everyone else. And for many, many years during those terrible years, he never knew from one second to the next what tomorrow was going to bring. He would live on emunah and betachin. Finally, the Turei Zov and his family arrived in a little village, and the battles had quieted down. He told his Rebbetzin,
I don't want anyone to know who I am. I want to live a private life now. I want to have some menuchas ha-nefesh. I just want to sit and learn from morning until night. There are no pictures. No one knows what I look like. If anyone asks me who I am, I'm just going to say, David. And we'll live in this little hut over here. Are you maskim?
Of course I agree. I'll do whatever I can. You should be able to sit and learn with menuchas ha-nefesh.
One day, the Taz came home and he saw his wife is crying. What's the matter?
It's okay.
Please tell me.
It's just that I know that till now we had these two challahs for Shabbos and we were happy with it. Our Shabbos table glowed with holiness and happiness anyway. But I don't even have money for the two challahs.
I will get some kind of a job.
No.
Don't worry. As long as I don't have to tell anyone that I'm the Rav. Why, here's the butcher shop. Excuse me. Are you looking, perhaps, for some worker?
What exactly can you do? You don't look like the type that could schlep up huge big cows.
Perhaps I could be like the menacher, the one who cuts out the forbidden fat from the animals.
Well, there's the mashgiach. Can you test him if he knows the halachos?
Come here, please. Do it for me, cut out. Let me see if you know what to cut out. Yes, yes, he knows the halachis. Very, very, very good.
In that case, you're hired.
So the great Turei Zov, one of the great paiskim of the time, became a menaker. That means he cuts out the parts of the fat that you aren't allowed to eat.
Wasn't he embarrassed?
Embarrassed? He was the happiest person in the world. He did his job and he went home. Every once in a while in the butcher shop, they would have a shiloh.
What kind of a shiloh?
Well, sometimes there was a concern that maybe the animal was treif.
What does that mean?
Well, if an animal had a kind of blemish, that because of that it couldn't live for 12 months, the animal is treifa.
I never saw my mother check if the, like, the meatballs had a blemish or not.
It would be a too late once it's mixed with your ketchup and spaghetti. But in the butcher shop, they check for it. Why, your great-grandmother used to check her chickens all the time. Today also, it's generally done in the butcher shops, Kindlach. But anyway, sometimes when they had a shiloh, they would have to run to the Rav.
Run quickly to the Rav and find out if this is kosher or not.
Let me look at that. This is kosher.
Okay.
Here and there, the Taz used to paskin shilohs because he was one of the greatest paiskim of all time. And after a while, the Rav began to wonder about this.
What is happening over here? It was ready about a month. They didn't bring me any shilohs. Perhaps they are being careless and they're not asking what they're supposed to ask. Ah, here's the butcher right now. Reb Mechel, come here. Yes, Rav, what can I do for you? How is it that for the last couple of weeks, Epis, you have no shilohs? Everything is kosher? Oh, actually, we do have shilohs, but the menacher, he paskins for us, and the mezgiach in the butcher shop says he's a big talmid chacham. What, right? Does he have to paskin? Only the Rav can paskin. Summon him here at once.
Hey, yo, David.
Yes, what's the problem?
Rav wants to see you. Looks like trouble.
Trouble? Oh, shalom aleichem.
Aleichem, shalom. Are you the one who is paskening shilas?
I guess, yes.
And can you tell me exactly who you are, so that you are qualified to paskin such shilas?
Oh no, I can't tell him. I want to stay a hidden person. I don't know what I'm going to say. Well, actually...
What do you mean, well, actually? Let me see your smicha. Who told you you can paskin shilas? Do you know Shulchan Aruch? Do you know the Taz?
I think I know it.
And who says that you know it?
I can't tell him. I can't tell him the truth. No, I want to stay hidden.
Well, if you can't answer me, I have to assume that you are paskining shilohs that you had no right to paskin. And for that, there's going to be a punishment for you. This man should dress in sackcloth. He should sit in front of the shul. Take off your shoes. You're in cherem. And for the next 30 days, you will sit here from morning to night. And anyone that passes by, you will make an announcement to him. You will say, Kocha Yayosa La'ish, that has the audacity to paskin shilas without the proper authorization to do so.
I'm willing to accept this upon myself. As long as...
Well, I'm asking you one final time. Can you tell me who gave you a right to paskin?
No, I'm afraid I can't tell you.
Then you will have to accept the punishment.
I accept it. When the Taz came home that night, his wife said,
I heard. You can't go through such bezyainas.
Why can't I? The greatest gift in the world is when a person goes through bezyainas. In case, chas v'shalom, something bad has to happen to you, so being embarrassed is in place of it. The Rav means, well, he's right, I didn't answer him. I'll survive these 30 days. It's nothing. It's the 29th day. I'm sitting over here. Oh, here comes another man. Oh, excuse me.
Koch, I know already. Koch, yes, I know.
Please let me say it. The Rav told me I have to. Koch, who rules on shilas without authorization.
Oh, I feel bad for you.
No, it's okay. I'm getting what I deserve. Here comes a little boy. He's crying. Why, come over here. Come over here, little... What's your name?
Matisyo.
Matisyo, what's the matter? Why are you crying?
We normally don't have any food in our house, very little. This Shabbos we got a gift, a chicken. And now my mother is cooking it, and she says there's a question on the bone.
Let me see that. Oh, don't worry, it's... Oh, no. I can't make the same mistake and paskin and rule, but I know that it's kosher. I guess you should go to the Rav and ask him.
Yes? Who's knocking at the door? Oh, little Marchesio, what's the matter? The chicken, hey? Let me see this bone. Let me walk over to the light. I see there's a... Let me look up a... Oh, I'm sorry. Tell your mother that she cannot eat the chicken and she has to throw away the soup.
What's the matter? What's the matter, little boy?
My family is going to starve. The roof said that it is treif.
But wait. I could bring proof that it's kosher. But if I tell him, I'm going to... What do I do? Little boy, go back to the Rav and tell the Rav he should look up the Turei Zav, the Taz, in this simen and this sieve cotton, and you'll see that it's... Just tell the Rav to look it up.
Rav!
What's the matter, little boy? I already told you it's treif. There's nothing I can do about it.
Can you look up the Maz?
The who?
The Krav?
The what? Oh, the Taz? Which? Let me look it up. Huh? Where he brings it? Why, he discusses this case, this very case of this bone that you were just brought to me. And according to this, why it should be kosher. Huh, kosher? Wait a second. Matisio, who told you this, Taz?
That man sitting outside dressed in the sackcloth that everyone is laughing at.
Wait a second. Uh-oh. Excuse me.
Yes, Rav?
Are you the one that told the boy to look up the Taz?
I didn't, Paskin.
I'm asking you a question. What is your name again?
I just said David.
David what?
David Segal.
You are the Taz? Oh! Everyone, come to shul. Everyone,
no, Rav, don't.
Everyone, I must ask Mechila. One of the greatest poskim in our generation is here. I resign as being Rav.
No, Rav, I don't want to take your job.
I'm not asking you. You take my job anyway. I'll be your assistant. You're the greatest poskim of all times. Oh, my. I'm embarrassed. Little boy, Matisyo, it's kosher. It's kosher, don't worry.
I heard what happened.
Yes, my wife.
Why? I know there was nothing in the world you wanted more than to remain hidden. Why did you do this?
You know, it's true. There was nothing in the world. You know that. I was willing to go through every embarrassment in the world to remain hidden. And I just wanted to let that little boy go home. But then I said to myself, because I want to remain hidden, and because I want to live a peaceful life, this family, this boy's family, should not have what to eat on Shabbos. No. The Ribbono Shel Olam arranges our life, and if the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me this test, this Nisayon, I had to make a decision. Whether I give up what I want in my life, after all I've been through, or that a Yiddish family shouldn't go hungry. And I made a decision that they shouldn't go hungry. I knew that this would happen. So you see, Kindelach, that's what Pinchas did. He made a decision. He's going to give up what he wanted his whole life. There was nothing more he wanted than to be a Kayin. But he said, if Klal Yisrael needs this mitzvah, then I'm willing to give it up. And that's exactly why he became a Kayin. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves people that are willing to give up what they really want for the sake of someone else.